Last Sunday, we shared about impartations. So today we conclude. Last Sunday was part one, part two, so this is part three, part four. But don't worry if you were not around. We will share in such a way that even if you're just here today, the understanding will be okay. So we talk about impartations. And so we will conclude these four messages on impartation and what we have received. I know sometimes the impartation of God is given to us, and especially those of you who have gone to Madaba, you receive wonderful prophecies. And you look at the prophecy, well, however it's going to come to pass, take heart, God will bring it to pass. And just keep believing in the word of the Lord, it will come to pass. And those of us who have not received any prophecies yet, you will be ministered to. And as Pastor David ministers to you, and we let the Lord lead in whatever word God has for you and impartation. So be encouraged in the Lord. So having received the impartations of God, our question in most of our lives is, what next? What next? How does it flow? So last week we talked about different types of impartations and how impartation works. And so today we continue on part three. On the impact and effects of the impartation. So let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace, your mercy. We ask that you continue to establish all things and that you continue to let your word be first place in our life. And we pray, Father, that through all situations and all areas of our life, that you stir up most of all that we grow more in love, we grow more in understanding, we grow more, Lord, in this love that Jesus came to give us. And as we love you, we love the word, and we love one another, and you continue to bring your glory into our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the glory of God. And we ask that you establish your glory and help us to understand the impartations upon each one of our lives. Let your word be strong. Let your word be healing. Let your word have first place in our life. Teach us, O God, so that all may grow. The very young among us spiritually, the very mature among us spiritually, they all may grow. That none be left behind, O God, but that all will be able to find a place in your kingdom, a place in your church, to be able to do your perfect will. For everyone is precious, O Father. And we ask, Lord, that you be able to bring all of us, every one of us, especially all those who have been to Madaba, and especially those all who are here, and many others who will join us. We pray that each one will find your perfect will. That each one will find a place in their life where they become a blessing to many, and they become an instrument of your glory. We know, Lord, that we all have our weaknesses and our strengths. But Father, at the end of it, we believe that everyone will prevail. We believe, Lord, that everyone will grow. We believe that everyone can find a place in your kingdom and be in the perfect will of God and be the blessing that you want us to all be. Thank you, Father God. And as always, we give you all the glory, worship, and honor. Confirm your word with signs following. Let healing power flow even as we sit in your presence. Let your will be done. We establish Father God in our midst. In Jesus' name, and everyone say, Amen. As we look at impartations, one of the impact of impartations in the overall plan of God is we all know that God never wants us to serve Him in our strength. And when God chooses any one of us, He doesn't choose us because we are perfect or because we are capable. In fact, sometimes our own capability becomes a hindrance to God because we start to do things in our own strength and in our own way. And that is why there is such a thing called the anointing and an impartation, where the word anointing is more like God. We know the truth that God doesn't look for our ability. He looks for our availability. But when we become available, God needs to give us His ability to do His work, His strength to do His work, His power to do His work, His impartation to do His work. And when He gave us His strength, which doesn't always come in one lump sum, it might come in stagger. And you give a little bit, we are faithful. You give a little bit more, we are faithful. Give a little bit more, we are faithful. Just like the talent story and parable. And so impartations can be in degrees. And it's God's choice and prerogative how it comes into our life. And so when God gives us an impartation, that is Him giving an ability to us so that we now have availability and His ability to do God's work. And that's the way God wants it. Not of our own strength or might or power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. When God does give us His ability to us, something takes place. What we call, and in this part three, we call an open door. God opens a door and opportunities. One of the first things that each one of us can look forward to and be aware, once you receive an impartation, is sooner or later an open door is going to come. And when the open door comes, we need to know how to respond to the open door. Now let's examine this impartation that results in open doors. And for some of us, you could be praying for a breakthrough in your business, or a breakthrough in your personal life, or a breakthrough in your career, and you're wondering why God takes so long to answer. It's because sometimes it takes so long to answer because the way God does it is impartation must come first, and then the open door. But what we're looking for is the open door. But God sometimes have to put us through the mold and test us and try us before we are ready for impartation. And that's why it takes so long. Always when we receive an impartation, then there will be an open door in direct proportion to the impartation that God has given. So, little impartation, little door. Big impartation, big door. It's always in proportion to that. And sometimes the doors might be not an easy door. So the impartation has to strengthen us for the type and character of the door that God opens. We need to be sensitive to the Spirit of God in the opening of God's doors for us when He imparts. Now let's look at the Bible in terms of doors. In the church to Philadelphia church, the message to the angel of God in the book of Revelations, chapter 3, verse 7 is a message of the angel of God to the Philadelphia church. And to the Philadelphia church, and when I look at verse chapter 7, verse 1, talk about the key of David opens and shut. Hey, that's the same prophecy He gave to you in the seven churches. And now that God established you, in fact, what you're doing, opening and shutting, rebuking sin, and then blessing when they repent, and cursing when they do not. This is exactly like that. Some of the prophecies that were given about your role is now being established. It's interesting. And then it says here, as we went along, in the instructions, God says in verse 8, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. So when God opens a door, no human can shut it. No organization can shut it. And nothing can shut it. In fact, anyone that tends to base his ministry in Jerusalem versus base his ministry in Galilee. And so for the first 2.5 years or so, he based his ministry in Galilee. And then when his family says, why don't you show yourself openly if you're the Messiah? He says, my time has not yet come. Now he already got his anointing, but what he said about his time has not yet come. See, they wanted him to show himself openly. And that is why even revelations received has a timing. And when the Lord showed me a lot of things and mysteries, and just a lot, something we're going to discuss, a lot of mysteries and all that, there's a timing to bring it forth. And I knew if I talk about things, about what the world was like in the past and all those things, people will not be ready yet. We need two witnesses. And sometimes three of, okay, the earth was like that last time. And plus, of course, the scientific basis and all that to help people before the revelation is ready to be received. And Jesus was very skillful in that. He told his disciples, and show that he's the Messiah. But when he was on the way to Jerusalem towards his last journey, and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And they say all kinds of things. They think he was Elijah. They think he was Jeremiah. They think he's one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And at that time, when he asked the question, "Who do you think I am?" They answered, and Peter was among those who answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he blessed Peter. If he had asked the question at the beginning of his ministry, it wouldn't be right timing. Because they hardly know him. They haven't seen his miracles. They haven't seen what he did. But after he did all those things, he asked them, and they have to come to a decision point. All revelation had to come to a decision point. You make a decision, you decide, is this right? Is this wrong? And so, is Jesus the Messiah or is he not the Messiah? And so they came to the point where Jesus demanded of them. Now, if at that point any of them say, "I don't think you're the Messiah," they're out. At that point, if they say, "You are the Messiah," that's it. And so it was time. But Jesus was careful. He didn't give it before. He didn't give it too late. At the right time, he demanded of them to know who he was. When they already knew in their heart, but he needed them to speak it out. And when they speak it out and seal it, Jesus took them to another revelation. Jesus began to reveal about how he had to die on the cross and he was a suffering Messiah. So that was Revelation 2. Revelation 1, he's the Messiah. Revelation 2, the Messiah is going to suffer. Now, Revelation 2 was harder to receive. In fact, some of them could hardly conceive the idea that the Messiah was going to die. The Messiah is supposed to live and rule and reign and be like the son of David, rule over Israel, make Israel a great nation again. That was their concept of the Messiah, Revelation 1, that they could accept. Revelation 2, that he was suffering, could not accept. Even to the day he died on the cross, they were still puzzled. They could hardly swallow the second revelation. And then when Jesus was risen from the dead, some of them are still wondering about the Revelation 1. And they say, "When will the kingdom of Israel be restored?" See, they were still concerned about Revelation 1. And they had no idea that Revelation 1 is going to be a gap of 2,000 odd years, then another 7 years, then no news. Then after that, then they see in a 1,000-year reign, then Jesus is ruling. They had no idea that Revelation 1 is going to take that long to take place. But God has his timing for all revelations. And even when he revealed Revelation 1 in the Gospel of John, and reveal who he was, the Bible says the Gospel of John, some stopped walking with him. They could accept him as a prophet, but they cannot accept him as a Messiah. They were all different levels of acceptance of Jesus Christ. And we're talking about Jesus. If that happened to Jesus, who is the most perfect, beautiful individual, soul and spirit and body on earth, how much more those who are followers of Jesus or those who are human vessels that God is trying to use. So you could imagine the task and the difficulty of it. But there was Jesus. He knew how to flow with the timing of God. He told his family, "My time is not yet come." But finally, when his time came, he showed himself and he was prepared. And so within the framework of his ministry, there was timing. And he knew when the impartation rested. And he talked about how the woman was washing his feet and all that. He says, you know, "This is all preparing me." Just as there is a new level of spirit that is coming upon him, there were outward signs of it. That she was anointing him for his burial. And imagine how much torment and prayer struggle that Jesus went through. When he was in Gethsemane. At Gethsemane, he received a new impartation. He said, "Did he?" Yes, directly from God and with the support of an angel praying. He said he was strengthened. He needed new impartation. Why? Because for the first time, he's going to absorb all the evil and suffering in the world. His suffering for us as an atonement was not just 6 hours on the cross. His suffering began from Gethsemane. Everything that happened after that was absorbing all our evil. Remember, we were healed by his stripes. His stripes were not placed when he was on the cross. His stripes was before the cross. So the whole trial and process was an atonement process for us. And that's where he needed a new impartation. And with a new impartation, he was ready for what God opened to him to now become the Lamb of God. So he became the Lamb of God for us. So I illustrate with Jesus' life in showing that there is always an impartation and then there is the work of God. So point number one, before an open door, an impartation must come. And there are different types of impartation, different levels. Let's look at David in the Gospel of, in the book of 1 Samuel. Book of 1 Samuel. It tells us here that when Saul had disobeyed God and he lost his anointing, but not his position yet. He was still king. But he lost his anointing to be king. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, David was anointed, and it says here in verse 1, the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." And so subsequently he went, and then in verse 13, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. Now, David already has some level of anointing and worship, but he says there is an impartation. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So there is a point when we receive impartation. And if you could trace your life, you could trace some points where they were significant. Now, sometimes you didn't feel the impartation because it is in the spiritual dimension. It may or may not have a soul or emotional side reaction, but it was an impartation. And Kenan Hagin was a prophet, received his impartation to be a teacher when he was walking between the living room and the kitchen to get a cup of coffee. He said, shoot, something dropped in him, and he became a teacher. He got the anointing to teach. And so the time and place can be strange and God's choosing. But it does happen. It's impartation. So don't view all impartation as the official time everyone lay hand. You might have been faithful to God in some way, and while something's happening, it happened. And then by the time people lay hands on you, it was confirming what you have received from the Lord. But officialized in a sense. But it did took place. And there's an impartation. So there's an impartation upon David. And from that day onward, definitely the kingly anointing was on him. Then we see immediately doors starts opening. But they were not doors that straight away he became a king. It will say, anointing to be king, door must be a king. And that's why we need to study this doors thing. How the doors open was the Lord giving opportunity to serve with the former king, who still got his position, even though he says here, that it so happened that the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, in verse 14, and then a distressing spirit came, and one of Saul's servants says, maybe he needs a musician to soothe him. And then in verse 16, let our master now command your servants or before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. I tell you, angels were probably involved, whispering, you know, get a musician and all. God was opening the door. It was angels working to open the door because now there was an anointing. There is an anointing. There's an impartation. And the anointing will draw you to the door that God has made. Now, the first door that God opened was in this manner of a musician. He said, hey, I'm anointed to be king, why open door just musician? Some people complain. He said, you know, I anointed to be, you know, evangelist to the whole world, but the church only open door, toilet, washer. So, you know, but at least you're serving God in some way. So do not complain. And as God begins to open door, and this is where we say the anointing, the impartation bring the open door. Point number two, the open door might not look exactly like the open door you expected. It looks different. Anointing to be king, opening, only musicians required. In fact, anyone who is applying to position of king, sorry, post field. The only vacancy was musician. But the angels make sure and arrange a decision, make sure that the person say, you know, in those days there could be many musicians. While all the musicians, David's name came up. See, I know someone. Maybe that guy was from the hometown. You never know how the angels arrange. But they will, you can be assured there will be many musicians. If I ask right now in Singapore, you know, how many top musicians are there? Oh, of course there will be a lot. And you're going to have a population of about 5 odd million. So there are a lot of people. But David was the one chosen. He came in, he qualified, filled the vacancy. So now he got a job. Every day, you know, so often, and then he go there, play the music, and then go back. Play the music, go home, play the music. He's not king yet. He go back to the shepherds and to the sheep after he served God. It was a temporarily open door. But that door was very important. But you can see that slowly the door got bigger and bigger. And so David was going that way, to and fro, to and fro. And suddenly a battle took place. And then the Philistines were attacking. And it's in that battle that an open door was created for David, but he did not know it. No one knew it because it didn't look like an open door. The story is on Goliath in chapter 17. All this started taking place after the impartation. So in point one, the open doors depend on the impartation. Point two, the open door might not look exactly like the open door you wanted. In point three, open doors don't even look like open doors. The open door that came. But the point three is not just because that looks like point two where it doesn't look like the open door is not what. But in point three, open doors need you to do something also. Because otherwise you hear the teaching on open door, you say, well, I sit down, play my music and say, que sera, sera, whatever will be, you know. And you're just sitting at home doing nothing about open doors. If God opens it, He opens it. If God shuts it, He shuts it. There's nothing I need to do about the open door. You do. Not always. It's not always that we're always knocking on the open door to create the open door. Here's how that third point, the open door came. David has been already doing his job well as a musician. And on that particular day, he was just bringing food to his brothers. No one would have known that that would be the day the big open door would take place. And even though he served King Saul, one of the things is King Saul didn't even know who he was. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, after everything has happened and all that has taken place in chapter 17:55. This is after he slay Goliath. When Saul saw David going out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, "Abner, whose son is this?" Hey, this is the same boy who was his musician. So obviously it's like a palace or something, you know. You could serve God. You could go and serve God in parliament, you know. Maybe do the coffee or drinks, you know. The parliamentary might not even know your name. But suddenly here is this boy who goes out against Goliath, and Saul saying, "Whose son is he? Do I know him?" And Abner did not say, "Oh, he's a musician." who serve you, but he might or might not know that knowledge because another guy might be in charge of a musician. But in verse 56, the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. So Amnon apparently had no idea. He was just a warrior and a soldier. And he's not in charge of the music department. If he went just a music department and they say, whose son is this? Oh, he's a musician. But so many organizations, so many departments. So he doesn't know. And so Saul said, find out who he is. And in verse 58, Saul said to him, in the end, Amnon doesn't know. And then in the end, he had a chance to ask David. He says to David, whose son are you, young man? And David says, I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now, he has killed Saul. And it was chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Look at how God opened doors. God touched people's heart. And on that day, while David was speaking, Jonathan was there. Jonathan said, he's going to be my best friend. You see how God touched people. And of course, best friends with Jonathan means palace, can go in and out. So how God opens the door slowly. And it was because of that Jonathan could see David and his bravery, and he became best friends with him. And in verse 2, Saul took him that day. Saul won't let him go. So from that day, he became part of his household. And there was David, part of his household. And not only that, he made him one of his soldiers. He gave him a rank, pankat. I don't know what he get. So I'm not in the army, but you know. Lance Corporal, Sergeant. The first Sergeant is what, right? Staff Sergeant was still Sergeant. Above Staff Sergeant or whatever, you know. And Lieutenant or something. Well, not so fast.
NCO, but officers.
Officers different, okay. Whatever David was, he had a bigger open door, correct? The open door was huge. But we were on point two that the open door, not easy to recognize. Sometimes it doesn't look like open door. I mean, your father asks you, go and send it to your brother. He said, this doesn't look like open door. No, thank you. Can you ask one of the servants? You will have missed the biggest open door in your life. Because that day was the 40th day that the Philistine was antagonizing the army of the Israelites. That was a day that was very important. Do you know that one day late is late? One day early, too early. Because it's exactly 40 days that the Philistine was tormenting them. And God wanted him killed that day. Not one day earlier, not one day later. So what happened if David showed up? Don't know who else. Maybe Benaiah might have been the one to take it. I'm just speculating. But David was at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing. He got the anointing on him to be king. And didn't look like open door. He went through. But here's the fact. Here's the third point. He had to kill Goliath to get the open door. So you thought every open door will fall on your lap while you are praying, fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. By that time, didn't eat much, also very weak, cannot do anything. And you thought the open door will fall on your lap like a letter from heaven. Or like a business opportunity. You know, or a billion-dollar idea that came to you. You thought it come easy. I won't say every door is the same. Because point two covers a lot of things. The open door can be any shape, form. I can show you many other people in the Bible. But in the third point, you might have to kill a few lions, bears, and Goliath to get the open door. So some of you who got the anointing now waiting for your open door, suddenly the lion and bear come and say, ah! And the angel say, hey, this one is your open door. Now today you know. Before you say, ah, this one cannot be. This is the devil. My open door must be the other opposite side. I know Adullam's cave, but this one is different. You might have to kill a few lions and bears. Why? Without killing the lions and bears, David had no compunction or confidence to kill Goliath. The basis in which he could kill Goliath when he was challenged was, I have dealt with lions and bears, I can deal with this Goliath. So there was a progression of his ability. And as I mentioned I believe that this lion and bear, he might have lion and bear trouble before the anointing. He might have lion and bear trouble after the anointing. But I believe it is his anointing that has risen up to prepare him for this. And killing the lion, the bear, the Goliath, opened this door for him. And that's a wonderful big open door that only God could have done. But notice, God gives you all the impartation. You need to do something about the impartation when the opportunity comes. God gives you anointing to be a prophet, you must prophesy, then the open door will come. God gives you anointing, which today, I doubt unless you're called to be a full-time soldier, anointing to wield a sword like David. And anointing, he said, it's God who trains my hands for war and my arms to bend a bow of bronze and to leap over a wall and run through a troop. He said, it's God's anointing on his life. And God's anointing on his life, he had opportunity to use it. And as he used it, created the open door. Another open door that we illustrate, God gave Daniel the gift of interpretation of dreams. And Daniel was already serving among the wise men. We all know the story that the king had a dream, no one could interpret, and all the wise men were being killed and slaughtered. Among them, Daniel was assigned to be slaughtered. He was assigned for the gallows. The gallows would be hanged, maybe in a slaughter chamber where they slaughter them. And as they were arresting Daniel to bring him to be slaughtered and killed with other wise men, Daniel says, why is this so urgent? And they described to him about the king, the dream. Then he told Arioch and says, ask the king for time. I will get the interpretation for him. I will get a dream interpretation. Hey, confident. He's confident about his gift. Confident about his relationship with God. Confident that the gift will make room for him. And so in the book of Daniel, if you cross-reference to the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, in the book of Daniel chapter 2, verse 14, Arioch was sent to kill all the wise men, including Daniel. Then verse 15, he says, why is the decree so urgent? And then Arioch make the decision known to Daniel. Imagine, he was being killed for something he doesn't even know why. And so most of us, what would you do if you were in Daniel chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Don't reach this thing yet. 14 and 15. And you were being led as a lamb to the slaughter. Will you be singing the song? Where Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, will be. And you're waddling like a duck. Quack, 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 quack. And become Peking roast duck. What will you be doing? Daniel's gift rose up. Remember, you got to slay your lion, bears, and Goliath. His gift rose up and say, if it's about a dream, I believe I can do it. And he says, let me ask the king. Ask him for more time, and I'll give him the answer. After all, he's going to die anyway. And his gift. Now, Daniel chapter 1, it says Daniel was given a gift of interpretation of dream. And this one has to do with dreams. So it's his portfolio. I receive impartation but don't know what portfolio is. Which already we covered last week. You got to learn what your portfolio is of your impartation. But usually, the things that you're thrown into reveal your portfolio. Because some of you thrown in the lion's den and say, hey, I didn't know I'm portfolio lion to handle lions. You say, Then the angels will be saying, use the force, Leo. Use the force. Okay, that's wrong movie, right? Use the anointing. The anointing is within you. You say, inside. You say, yeah. Oh, wow. But you ask too many questions, too late. By that time, lion eaten you up. Need to know your anointing. Daniel knew his anointing and he says, let me do this. Let me do this. And he got his friends to pray with him. He prayed, and the Lord gave him the dream, the interpretation. And he revealed the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar bowed before Daniel in chapter 2:46. He bowed to Nebuchadnezzar. And they presented an offering and incense to him. And the king answered and said, "Truly your God is a God of gods, the Lord of kings, a revealer of secrets." Then in verse 48, the king promoted Daniel. Daniel became, after the king, number one in his kingdom. So how did the open door resulted? Daniel had to slay his lion bears and Goliath. His Goliath was in a different form. But in the slaying of Goliath, his life was also endangered. Another guy I threw into the picture, Joseph. Joseph was given a gift interpretation of dreams somehow. But he was in prison. And while in prison, he saw the butler and the baker. He had one chance to use his gift. Not one day earlier, not one day later. 3 days later, too late. They would have been, you know, everything would have been fulfilled. And couldn't earlier because there was no individual. They were only in prison 3 days. Out of the many years he was in prison wrongly, he got only 3 days. And out of the 3 days, just that first day that they had a dream. Anyway, he could interpret the second day or whatever. But 3 days was the only time that the butler and the baker was in prison. And it so happened that he was already prisoner, taking care of all the other prison. Now here is where faithfulness comes. If Daniel had not been faithful in prison when they threw him in, how many people who has been sold as a slave, worked faithfully as a slave, become a chief slave with some authority, become wrongly accused, not only wrongly accused, wrongly punished. Okay, wrongly accused is one thing. Wrongly punished and sentenced to prison. Remain faithful to God. That might eliminate 99% of Christians. Some Christians, I mean, if they go through bankruptcy, they go through a difficult time, they go away from the Lord. Some bad things happen because we are guilty. Some bad things happen even when you're not guilty. But what happens if the bad things punish you unjustly? Will you react and say that God is unfair? But if you say that, you haven't seen the whole picture yet, correct? The only times that you and I cry unfair, unjust, is because we don't see the whole picture. But here's our encouragement to you. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hold to God with all your life. Remember Job. You know what Job cried? Unfair. Because he said, how can this thing be happening? I've been righteous, I've been doing all the right thing. Why is this thing happening to me? He didn't know that he has become a story for the angels to look at. Some of you say, I don't want to be a story. Sorry, too late, you were born here. You're born here, become a story. If Job had given up, there'll be no book of Job. None of us would have known the story. His wife told him, curse God and die! If he had done that, finish. God would be disappointed in him. remember, humans can disappoint you, people can disappoint you, governments can disappoint you, organization can disappoint you. But God will never disappoint you. Even if you think He did, Jesus will never disappoint you. Even if you think He did. Because the story is not finished. And I pray that each one of you will find friends and people who will not disappoint you, who will be there through thick and thin. And I pray that every one of us as Christians will become those kind of friends that will stand with people through thick and thin, no matter what, to see them through. But sometimes the path to the open door is just to be faithful, loving God, serving God until the door opens for you. Joseph in prison was so eager for that open door, like all of us, natural. I mean, he told the butler, "I'm here unjustly. I'm here for something I haven't done. I'm here, you know, and I want to get out. When you escape this prison in 3 days' time, please remember me." For 2 years, he was forgotten. 2 years, he was forgotten. How upset would Joseph be? But it just happened to be not the timing. The timing has to be related to his gift. Because Pharaoh still didn't get his dream yet until 2 years later. So the angels have to have their time to create an open door for you. So all those dreams that God gave Pharaoh, I believe angels were involved to pre-warn the nation, to protect the nation and innocent lives from the drought or the famine, where if they're not prepared, innocent lives might die. But that opportunity was given, and there was only one man with the key for that door. Joseph. And the butler says, "I remember someone who can interpret this. Someone who can interpret this dream." Because in his case, it was different for Nebuchadnezzar. Pharaoh remembered his dream. But none of his wise men can interpret the dream. So there's only one man with the key to the interpretation, Joseph. When they brought Joseph, Joseph straight away interpreted. And he straight away interpreted, straight away gave the solution, and the king says, "Who should do this job but you?" He created his own employment. He says to the king, "Let the king find a wise man. Let him do this, 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 this." The king looked at it. Hey, this guy interpreted. This guy gave the solution. And he says, "Who else but the Spirit of God is on you? I'll give you this job." And you know who he became? He became, the king says, "I'll give you my signet ring, my chariot, everything. Above you, there's no one but me. But everyone is under you now." He got a huge open door. The entire nation of Egypt was now under him. So what an open door. But as you can see, all the points were the same. At some point in Joseph's life, he received an impartation. And with an impartation, there will be an open door. But point number two, the open door doesn't come in the way, the manner where one would expect. The open door took him through Egypt as a slave. The open door took him through imprisonment in Egypt before he ended in the palaces of Egypt. So the open door doesn't exactly look the way that one expects. And number three, the open door required him to do something with the gift that was his impartation. And God created the opportunity for him to function in that gift. So remember these three simple little points. These are laws of impartation. And now today, part three, we relate. How impartation relate to open doors. And if you had not had impartation yet and you're praying for open doors, remember, The prayer is also for impartation, or to open yourself to receive impartation. And the laws of impartation is sometimes God send you to strange places on the mountain, climb, sleep with scorpions to get open, to get an impartation. You got to do things, travel, do, pay the price or whatever, get that impartation. There are laws that govern it. But once you get an impartation, wait on God for the open door. That will 100% come. But law number two, it will come in a manner. It doesn't always come in a manner that you expect. Now, for Joshua and Elisha, it came in a manner that they expected. Because when the open door came for Joshua, Moses was dying. So, obvious succession. Say, okay, Moses died, open door for me. Obviously, if you work for your boss and you're next in line, your boss died, you don't say, God, is this the open door for me? Right? Natural progression, okay. He was being groomed and prepared for the door to lead the Israelites. But you notice, for him it happened almost like concurrently. Just before Moses died, in Deuteronomy 34, Moses lays hands on Joshua. Why? Because for him it's different. For some of us, slightly different. The open door is shining, beckoning. Come, come. But you got no impartation to go in. He said, hey, wait a minute, where's the impartation for this open door? And you go through without impartation, finish. Because there will be demands made of you during the open door that you got no energy for. Maybe that could have happened to some people. That's why they die of exhaustion or you know, they work themselves to death and no energy to do what they do. Because they're not relying on the impartation. Or they did not get the impartation and they ran in the open door. Maybe. You know, humans are human. There's so many possibilities and types. Life is not as simple. But an impartation was given. And it says in Deuteronomy 34, the spirit of Moses, of wisdom, came upon Joshua. An impartation took place. He's now ready for the open door. Elisha case. He already knew he was called to be a prophet to replace and to take the place of Elijah when Elijah finishes his work. Elijah was told that way back in 1 Kings 19, 10 years before he left. So it was understood that Elisha was to replace Elijah. And so the open door was already there. He's being groomed for the open door. But guess what? You need impartation for open door. So Elisha knew that. I want the impartation. I must have the impartation. You give me the opportunity without the power, no point. And Eddie would probably stand up and say, with great power comes great responsibility. Spider-Man. Anyway. But the fact here is, if great responsibility comes without great power, God help you. The responsibility will crush and kill you. And so here we have that Elisha knew. And he was really zooming. He just don't want one portion, he wants two portions. Wow, that man is spiritually really hungry. And in the end, Elijah told him, this impartation is not easy. The normal one, impartation, fine. You want double portion? This is the price you pay. You must see me, and then it will be yours. So in the end, he did get the impartation. So impartation brings open doors. But the open doors can come in a way we did not expect. And sometimes it takes time to discover that open door, which we will see in the second service, the discovery of the Apostle Paul in his open door. But thirdly, so second point is, open doors come in different shapes, size, and different manner. And it doesn't look like an open door. And so there are many processes to discovering the open door. But in point three, you definitely will need to use your gift. Even if the door is already there, or the door is in a small manner, and you got to use whatever gift you could, in whatever little open door or direction. Sometimes the big open door go to 3-4 doors. Like David, he used his skill as a musician to be faithful. And before the big open door come, But when he was killing the lion and the bear, only God knew he was training him to kill Goliath. But no one was looking when he was killing the lion and the bear. No one knows. Maybe his own family doesn't know. So we need to understand that whatever you do with your gift, don't always look for an audience. You know, David didn't, you know, kill the lion and bear. Say, hey, everybody, look, I'm killing the bear now. I'm killing the bear. Look, I'm holding it, killing the bear. And look down, his arms got chopped off. And like, you know, because all he wants is an audience. When he killed the lion and the bear, no one was looking. Only the angels and David himself. And it was a private matter of exercising his gift, his boldness that was developed. And perhaps God allowed the lion and the bear. In fact, now when I look back, I got more pity for the lion and the bear than for David. You know, there were many lions out roaming on that day. The angels had to say, hey lion, go over there and grab a lamb. Lion say, no la, you know, I think that is David, isn't it? whatever, I'm just playing around with that. And lion, you know, so the lion might not have been eager lion. The lion might have been, you know, going after a big fat jungle mouse. And so the angel turned the eyes of the lion to see the lamb. So the lion starts going, and as it pounced on it, David saw it. And David came, go grab the lamb, grab the lion's belt. When the lion tried to reward, and as the lion grabs a last breath, why, Lord? Why me? It was chosen to sacrifice his life so David could learn a lesson. Same with the poor. Now we look back, the poor bear. But wait, if you were David, you wouldn't see poor bear and poor lion. You got almost eaten up and mauled by the bear. And so but that was important to prepare him for the Goliath open door. The bravery, all the skills necessary. And then, in the third area, the gifts, the third law, as we all know, the gifts need to be exercised. There will be many opportunities. And it will fit your open door. And we need to be faithful to function in the gift, whether it be washing toilet, whether it be pulpit ministry, whether it be serving behind the scene, whatever. If God called you to the ministry, for example, I don't understand why sometimes Bible school students don't want to do simple tasks. As if sweeping the floor, waking the floor, washing the toilet is too, you know, above them. You say, what has this to do with the anointing of God? It has to do with humility. It has to do with learning that you're a servant and not, you know, master of all. And so it's important for us to be faithful and to be faithful to use the gifts. And as you're faithful, open doors will just flow through. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy upon our life. We ask, O God, that you establish us, teach us on open doors so that we know, Father God, everyone has a great impartation and an open door that you have established. We ask that you cause us to rise to the place you want us to. Whether it be through the Silk Road, whether it be through the wilderness, whether it be through the mountains, through the valleys, whether it be through the valley of the shadow of death, or whether we be trained under an Elijah or trained under a Moses. We know, Father, we cannot escape these laws of impartation and gifting. Only by your Spirit can all things be done. So cause us, Lord, to understand and to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Let's all rise together and let's sing that one of the little favorites that we have been singing. He Raised Me Up, and we close with that little song. Thank you, Lord. When And know my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. When I am down and oh my soul so weary, when troubles come and my heart burden be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and wait a while with me. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. I am strong when I am on your shoulders. To more than I can be. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You, I am strong when I am on your shoulders. Raise me up to more than I can be. Those of you who want to receive an impartation of blessing, and others of you with other things to pray too, we pray for you. As we continue worshiping, do come forth and Pastor David will minister to you and I'll stand together with him. You raise me up so I can stand on mountains. You raise me up to walk on stormy seas. You, I am strong when I am on your shoulders. You raise me up to more than I can be. And the Lord bless you, keep his face shining on you. For those of you who need to go, God bless you while we minister to the rest.